This week on the Nittany Dispatch, we discuss James Franklin's first presser of spring ball, what to expect from the Nittany Lions during the spring, and what we saw at the first spring practice the media was allowed at. This week on the Nittany Dispatch. Hello and welcome to the Nittany Dispatch. I am John Sauber, Penn State football beat writer at the Center of the Daily Times. She is Audrey Snyder of The Athletic. Audrey, it has been a minute.
It has been, and right as you said that, I had to turn my phone off because I'm out of practice here, John. A little rusty.
I know, and the problem is, like, it's NFL free agency right now.
Too. I know,
and my, so I have my phone face down, and I'm like, oh, what if I just check for a second? And I said right before we started recording, the Eagles signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and I just want to read about such things, but alas, we are doing this.
John, but you do have, there is an Eagles big free agency
there is.
Tie to Penn State. This is like, the floor is yours, because I'm sure the people want to know your thoughts. James Franklin was asked about it today. We'll get into that. But John, what are your thoughts? Because it's all about you here.
Yeah, I mean, first off, go Birds. But, you know, this is, it's interesting. I'm usually not team pay running backs, right? You just, you usually don't get the value out of it. But there's a line of demarcation there, right? It's don't pay the ninth best running back $8 to $10 million, right? Like, don't give Tony Pollard that contract that he got for 324. Don't give DeAndre Swift the contract that he got, and plug your ears. I'd say this objectively and not to offend you, I promise.
No.
Don't pay Josh Jacobs $12 million when he's the sixth or seventh best running back, right? Like, the objective is to maximize value there. And the difference between running back, you know, seven and running back 19 right. is not $8 million, right? Mm-hmm. But the difference between one of the top four or five running backs and running back seven is like $6-$8 million. So a little bit of an overpay. It's essentially a two-year deal. I'm fine with that. I'm not overly worried about it. If it doesn't work out, it's not going to hamper the team long-term or anything like that. But I also fully expect it to work out. Saquon Barkley is awesome. We know this. He's very good. This is a great fit. He's frankly going to be in the by far the best offense he's ever been in, even without Jason
Kelsey.
Well,
that's a pretty low bar, John, to be fair.
It really is. But it's you know, it's with a quarterback that's going to open things up. Even without Jason Kelsey, they have a significantly better offensive line than the Giants do. It's a really good landing spot for him. It's obviously great for the Eagles, right? Like, this is the kind of move, again, you usually wouldn't pay a running back this level of money. But when you're trying to maximize your offense, and the Eagles 2 years ago found the formula for them making the Super Bowl, it's just have a passable defense and really have an elite offense that can, you know what I mean, go light it up on any series. But the goal that
you've completely talked yourself into this. Like, you've just
collapse
in team history. You've moved on from that in a hurry, John.
I moved on from it before was even over.
Yeah, some people were rooting for firings before playoff games, which is just different aspects of fandom here, John. I am gonna disregard what you've said about Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. It felt mean, if I'm being honest.
Felt very mean, and I hope you're gonna be completely wrong. And I hope we get a Eagles Packers game in Brazil. Wouldn't that be fun?
For the season opener too.
Wouldn't that be great, right? And especially because we could lean into the season.
Penn State's on bye that week, I think. I'm like 90% sure. Because it's their first bye week. It's West Virginia. I don't remember who they play in the second game. I should probably remember that.
I don't remember either.
That third week is a bye, the September 14th.
See, John, are we going to – if Packers-Eagles, we're going to have to talk ourselves into trips to Brazil.
Yeah, I don't
– Yeah, gosh, that's a lot of hoops to jump through there.
My one week off, or 2 weeks off now, I guess, during the season.
Yeah,
I do not
let's travel across the country for an NFL game. Let's do that. Or across the country.
Yeah, across international borders to go to an NFL game when we watch football for a living.
I'm sure everyone would.
It's a fun time of year.
It is. I mean, there's a lot going on, and James Franklin was asked about it Tuesday as well, and he said he spoke with Saquon Barkley Monday evening. So obviously he said that Howie Roseman, part of Howie's pitch was that, hey, you're closer to home, you're closer to Penn State. And
I think that much closer.
No. And I was like, I'm thinking, as he's saying it, I was like, man, Howie, like, that's a rough, like, the guy's, you know, he's seen a map, right? He's been here. Certainly doesn't hurt though, right? And I think if you're Penn State, that's a really interesting little chip there that you have, because maybe you get Saquon back here a little more frequently. Again, these guys are all super, super busy, but by keeping him at least on this coast, right, you have a better chance of having that. And James even alluded to that. He said Etor Gross Matos, who ended up with the 49ers. I saw that Tuesday morning, I believe it was.
Yep.
He said, you know, you get those guys over there on the West Coast, obviously it's much harder to get them back here, which again, you're plugging these guys to your recruits, right? And we're going to see a lot of recruits come in here throughout spring ball. As always, we're going to see a lot of recruits come in here throughout the summer and the fall. And one of the names that we always hear when you say, hey, like, kind of, how did you learn about Penn State? And I feel old, but a lot of guys, some of them will say, well, I wasn't too familiar, but then I watched Saquon Barkley and that's how I know them, which is pretty wild. But again, Saquon Barkley got him some money, keeps him in state, which is a nice little launching point here for March, because it's the time of year where the worlds collide. And obviously, you got March Madness and March Matness around here for wrestling heating up.
You're really leaning into this now.
You got to lean into the March Madness. I mean, hey, John, if there's certain things that I can say that are going to stick, maybe Madness, because I'm sure you've noticed the Coach K thing starting to stick.
I hope not. I'm going to push back against this till the end of time. Mm-hmm. The March Madness thing, listen, not everything has to be a play on words.
But it's a lot better when it is.
We can just call them nationals. We can just call them NCAAs. Like, we can, you know, it's fine. We don't have to give them a fun little nickname. Sure. But I just, you know, March Madness is its own thing. And there's not enough of a difference between Madness and Madness. You can mishear it a little easier.
Right. Tune in. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I don't want to focus that hard. This is that time of year where worlds collide. Pro Day is this Friday for Penn State. Will be interesting to see what goes on there. Will be a lot of NFL people in town. A lot of teams are going to be interested in a lot of Penn State's players. Pretty much, I would be stunned if all 32 teams aren't represented, given the wide array of positions that guys are going to be playing, or positions of guys that are going to be entering or going into the draft that are going to be picked. Like, this is not a year where it's like, oh, they have like a running back and a safety and that's it, right, that people are looking at. There are guys that are going to get drafted pretty much across the positional spectrum. I am curious to see, assuming this rule is still a thing, because I don't check up on the pro day rules that often, considering we don't go to them more than once a year.
We go to one and that's it, yeah.
But like guys from underclassmen can participate at pro days. If you remember, Sean Clifford 2 years ago was throwing to Jahan Dotson. Right.
But I'm
curious to see what does that look like this year. Mm-hmm. You know, like, are there any?
Are you lobbying for Drew Aller to throw to Theo Johnson? Is that what you're getting?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone's got to throw to Theo Johnson, right? Like, I think. I'm not reporting anything. To be clear, this is 100%.
No. It's a good point. It is something that did cross my mind today.
Sometimes I say I'm not reporting anything, but like we know a little. This I 100% try to get us some speculation. Trouble. This is 100% speculation. I do not know, you know, what their plan is. But I wouldn't be surprised if they had Drew throw. It makes sense. Like, this is a setting that he's going to excel in too, right? Like, he's going to look really good if he's throwing to Theo out there. And,
yeah, everybody looks great when there's not a pass rush, right?
Yeah, true. And
you know,
true for Drew a lot this year too, by the way, in real life, when he wasn't seeing pressure, when he didn't, when he had guys get separation, he looked like a good quarterback.
I think because the interesting thing with this, and I remember last year, then we saw the kind of the opposite of that, because that was our first look at Malik McClain last year, because he was doing warm-ups and Sean Clifford, of course, was throwing. I think we will see, again, not reporting anything here, but we always do see a lot of those guys pass through the building. Sometimes you get quarterbacks from other schools that come, you know, for a workout. Maybe there's something there or a guy that they know. That is a good point. That's something we will have to keep an eye on Friday. Yeah, Penn State will be starting early. No, I have not seen a list yet of pro day participants. And then once you kind of keep the list in mind too, then it's, of course, who does what, right? And who's going to retest? Are they going to retest? Those types of things. Obviously, Olu Fashanu will be getting a lot of attention, which again, we'll see, because he got injured at the combine. So who knows on that? But yeah, Chop Robinson, obviously, there's going to be a ton of interest there as well. The list goes on.
Chop should not test. Like, I don't know if he's gonna. He should not.
But when you're basically like, when you're a freak, John, you don't need to. Like, one and done, right? They've seen what they need to see.
Or you can do it again because you're just gonna run it even better and all. Like,
yeah, but then you risk tweaking something, and you know.
100%. But you risk that in any training, if we're being honest.
Yeah, so why do it again, right? I mean, that's the, and I think so many times too, which has been interesting, you know, covering Penn State over time, you hear so many guys who they say, man, once they run that 40, they're so glad to be done with that and not have to do it again, because you put so much training into these combine specific drills, which, you know, again, how much does it translate? How much does it not? That's always the multi-million dollar question.
Mostly not.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff, but it will be good. I think it'll be nice for us to get a chance to chat with a lot of these guys on Friday after their workouts. And the thing that I always want to know, the thing that I think fans, readers, listeners often want to know, is about the guys coming up behind them, right? They've spent a lot of time in the meeting room, on the practice field. We saw Theo Johnson out at practice on Tuesday when we saw about 15 minutes of the first practice of spring. So he was out there, and I'm sure you're going to have other guys rotating through there this week. And really, I mean, in the lead up to the draft, like all throughout spring ball, it's kind of like whenever we're at practice, it's like, all right, what former players are here? Who's in town? That type of thing. So yeah, that'll busy week for March, John. And I thought there was some insight from James Franklin today. I think maybe a little time away from us. Yeah, I thought he was pretty forthcoming today.
I thought James was great today. I'm going to pull back what I said about Drew, because I've just been sitting here connecting some dots in my head, right?
Uh-oh.
About who's going to throw on Friday.
Uh-oh, that's never good when John's connecting things.
I think it's going to be Trace. He's in town. James said he's talking to the team on Saturday.
He's coming back for a banquet.
Right, he's going to be at a banquet on Sunday. But if he's in, he's looking for work. You know what I mean? Like, it would make some sense if they gave him that opportunity, because – you know,
but don't you want to throw with the guy that you've played with, right? Like, you know,
I don't know if it matters.
Yeah, true. Yeah, might not.
Yeah, like I think that's my guess based on.
Or you know what, John? Let's just go for chaos here and be like, yes, Theo Johnson's gonna have Bo Prabula throw to him. Yeah. Can you imagine? Right, like that'll be the world burning option.
That's a good transition back to the press conference.
Weren't they? Oh, gosh, they were close. I think I feel like there was a. I thought I talked with Theo last year. I could be misremembering, but I thought he had spoke highly of maybe I'm misremembering, guys, but I
everyone
think
spoke highly of Bo.
Yeah. I say nobody is. Yeah. I mean, that would just be to fuel the offseason fire. That would be the move.
Well, that's what's interesting. You mentioned Bo. Like I said, it's a good transition back to what James said today. There were a couple questions that were Drew Aller related. The first one about Andy Kotelnicki and the impact that he can
Coach
have
K.
on. Yeah, Andy Kotelnicki and the impact that he can have on the Penn State offense. And James talked a lot about some stuff that a lot of NFL teams do now, right? Like the bunch concepts, having guys stacked on the outside. And he mentioned play action, marrying the play action with the running game, something we saw quite a bit at Kansas when Kotelnicki was there. But then I asked about Drew Aller specifically and what like the next step looks like. And he mentioned the consistency. But after he was done talking about Drew, he was sure to mention Bo Prabula, how much he matters. They want to use him, you know. But there's a little more credence to that this year, right? We've seen Andy Kotelnicki use two quarterbacks before. And I will be very curious to see if that package comes out for Penn State, right? There are going to be some high-profile games this year. There's going to be some opportunities to deploy something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a thing, right? Like if it's not just the we talked about the Prabula package last year, where it's he would come out on the field and it felt like a one-off in a game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would, if they do it, and this was something I said last year too, they should lean into it more. Like they should give themselves a real optionality on those plays, not just have Drew standing at wide receiver, right? Like they need to actually involve both those guys. I am guessing that there will probably be more involvement with Bo this year, just because we saw Kotelnicki do it with Kansas. And I think he has the skill set to do that. But to go back to Drew real quick and what James said, just to sum that up, he essentially said Drew needs to, you know, consistency is the next thing. Made sure to say something I think you and I have been saying since last year too, that it's not just about Drew. It's about the scheme. It's about the weapons around him, setting him up to succeed. But he also mentioned that he looks better, right? That he weighs the same, but he looks leaner, like that, essentially saying it's better weight now, than it was when Drew first got there, because that makes sense, right? Because he was a young kid, still is a young kid.
You know what? I was looking at some photos from practice today that I took, and I tweeted a couple of them out, and he still looks so young, like just his face. Like he's just one of those people who just looks young, and probably, because he is. We're over here old now, John. But
he just turned 20, right? Like this recently.
Yeah.
I saw they tweeted his birth out recently, but I believe he's still only 20. And like, you know, and first off, call me old. Some of us are still in our
20s. But you know, Roger, that's, you know, John, I'm, that's the thing, though. He could, right, if this is it, if year three is it, he could be done here and legally never be able to have a drink. That's a right, because you've seen that with some of these young guys.
Yeah, it's which, technically true. Could have been true with Olu too, had he left last year.
But we'll missed opportunities. We'll get... Yeah, missed opportunities. Right. As I take us off the rails here. Yeah.
No, I think James' answer about Drew is interesting because that's the biggest story of the spring.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's. Can he take that next step, right? And I think you're right, and James is correct in that it's the Franklinism here is it's a combination of things, right? That's we always that's
all
the
phrase he
likes to use. Yeah, it's all of it. It's a combination of things. But it's true. I mean, it's the offensive line, which we know they're going to be without Drew Shelton for probably all of the spring. James Franklin did say that Shelton had a procedure this offseason that was something that he was dealing with last year, but was able to play through. And he had an arm in a sling at one point this offseason. So again, upper body injury, fixed it, moving on.
That did create a very funny moment at the presser where Mark Brennan, 24/7, mentioned Drew in a sling. And I don't know about you, my ears perked up and I like looked at Brennan and
I knew James's where he was going. I knew where he was going. Yeah.
I just like, it was one of those things where I was listening to what he said, but wasn't fully focused. And you hear Drew, your mind goes to Aller. And I like looked up and James looked up. And he's like, oh, like really? He said Shelton and James laughed and was like, oh, that makes, you know, more sense.
Yeah. That would, I think James said something along the lines of like, yeah, that would be, that would be all over the news. Yeah. Which kind of took us back to the whole boot scooter thing. Is that last year? That was the hot.
Was that
last spring? I think that might have been.
It would have been last around the NFL playoffs last year, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever the boot scooter gate is. But yeah, Drew Allard has had all of his limbs. We confirmed that at practice with all of our eyes. But back to the it's all of it point. I sat down with Danny O'Brien right before spring break started. I have a story up on The Athletic about that. He's Penn State's quarterbacks coach. He's a graduate assistant, right? And he's someone who, if you're listening to this, obviously you're very plugged into Penn State. If you've made it this far listening to us.
That's right.
He's someone who James Franklin has consistently said is a rising star, right? They think so highly of him. And one of the things I asked Danny O'Brien was basically that of what is next for Drew and your relationship with him and what do you want to see? And the thing that he said, listen, like it's spring. There are a lot of moving parts, but we just want to lay a good foundation this spring as an offense and just kind of feel good about what we can do, kind of ease your way into it. Cause really like nothing's going to be fixed by the end of spring ball, right? Like nothing's going to be drastically fixed. Positions aren't going to be decided. This is just another step in a very long offseason. This is the next step of the process. But yeah, the transformation of Drew Aller year three, plus the weapons around him, that's the storyline, right? It's Drew, and it's also that receiving core, which, of course, saw Julian Fleming today in a Penn State jersey, which, I don't know, John, were you anything you took away from our drill work with Mr. Fleming?
Nope. That's one of those
pretty basic.
Usually we go into these practices, if you were in there you would see me pretty much in the same spot every practice, kind of charting where wide receivers are in drill work, right? What order they go, and it's usually indicative of not necessarily the full picture but a good general idea of
who's first, second, third, who's I think leadership stuff in those moments too.
And it's a chance to see the quarterbacks throw. Like you said, it's a limited window. I'm trying to get as much out of it as I can. And that feels like the one hard and fast thing that you can rely on. Like, okay, this is going to give me some information that I can use, right? That's helpful for our jobs. And Fleming was not going early in those drills. And before anybody gets worried, before anyone is concerned, he just, like, he's a transfer. This was the first practice. Mm-hmm. They're going to make him earn that spot, right? Like, before people go comparing it to Dante Cephas and Cephas being, you know what I mean, not working.
Well, he wasn't even here last spring, so.
Right. But I'm saying in the fall when he wasn't working with the ones and everything like that, it became a thing. This is literally his first practice. Like, I'm not worried about it. I would be surprised if by fall camp he wasn't their top receiver. I've gone back and watched too much film on Julian Fleming over the last, I don't know, 2 months, whatever it's been, and he is very good, and he's going to be very good here. I feel confident saying that. And the way the coaches and other players talk about him, his leadership, the work ethic, the business-like approach, and all of that, all of those, you know, the phrases that people love to throw out for these kind of guys.
Leading by example.
Yeah, the leading by all of that stuff. Like
putting his head down, going to work, earning
right,
it.
The, yeah. Grinding, like all of it. Yeah. But he's all of that stuff. And I fully expect him to be the number one receiver. I fully expect him to be their, you know, their leader in the room. And this was something I wrote about. You, I know, did a similar sort of this, like questions about the team heading into spring ball. You can find mine at centerdaily.com. You can find Audrey's at The Athletic. It's one of my biggest questions is what kind of impact, what wide receivers step up? And I think all you really need is Fleming stepping up. Because if Fleming steps into that number one role, the puzzle pieces fit a little bit better, right? Like yep. Trey Wallace is really good. I gotta oscillate back and forth between Harrison and Trey.
I know. Yeah.
But Trey Wallace is good, but I think he's best right now as a number two receiver where he doesn't have that pressure of being the number one of the go-to guy, all that stuff. Keandre Lambert-Smith is, I think, at his best in the slot where he can create that separation a little easier, where he's not relied on, you know what I mean, an every play basis to be that reliable number one target, what have you. And Fleming stepping into that spot of being the number one kind of bumps each of those guys down into a role that they're just better at, right? Now, I think you still need guys to step up from a depth perspective. That's going to be a concern without a doubt, because a lot of those guys are going to be asked to play the same role this year, and they just need to be better at it. But for the time being, like this to me, with Fleming, the starters at least are in a really good spot, and I think are going to be, I think we're going to see the best version of Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think we're going to see the best version of Trey Wallace. I think we're going to see the best version of Julian Fleming this year. And if that happens, like, there's not a whole lot more you can ask for from the receiver room.
I thought that James Franklin's comment on Tuesday about the receiving core was interesting, and I pulled it up so I have it correct. I'm reading it. He said, "I don't think we've ever really had a talent issue at wideout. If you look at our guys' athletic numbers, testing numbers, it's as good as anywhere in the country. I think you take that, add another year of experience, and I think there's some stuff we can do offensively to help as well," right? You already alluded to that with some of the bunches and the stacks and those different things that they can do. But, again, you got to get that production, and it's so much of, in that regard to me, John, it feels like this is the same as last year, right? Where you got different faces now. But you have that same big time question of who steps up. And again, you got all spring to figure it out. We've talked a lot on here in the past about Amari Evans and kind of how he fits in there. We know that Mekhi Flowers moved positions from safety, where he was buried on the depth chart, over to wide receiver. James Franklin mentioned that on Tuesday as well and said that Mekhi and his dad came to him at the end of the season and said, "Hey, we kind of think, you know, he's obviously played both sides of the ball in high school, really explosive, dynamic athlete," and said, "Hey, we think he's better suited at wide receiver." So the coaching staff said, "Sure, let's give it a go." So again, this is the time of year you want to start to lay that foundation, figure these things out. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities up for grabs in that receiving core. Tight ends too. I mean, it gets interesting as Theo Johnson's watching practice. I think they're loaded there, John. But again,
Do you want maybe not a hot take? I think a lot of people have been saying this. I've been talking to people in the NFL and college football, or whatever. I think Tyler Warren is going to have the best season we've seen from a Penn State tight end in a good bit. And I think he's going to, because I think he looks faster than he has in the past, right? And maybe it's just the fact that he's being asked to do different things, and you know what I mean? Like even on the field today and the short stuff you see, right? He just looks he looks like he's moving better. That's enormous for him. He's obviously coming along as a blocker. People forget.
That's part of why he's here another year, right? That was the blocking was a big part of that, right? That came up in the lead up to the bowl game.
And I say people forget, and I mean that no one forgets, because it's always brought up, like Evan Royster playing lacrosse. But people forget that Tyler Warren played quarterback in high school, right?
Yep.
He was a raw tight end coming into Penn State, and I think he's really going to round into form this year. I've talked to some people who think that he's going to grade out better for the draft, for next year's draft, than Theo does this year. I don't agree with that. I think Theo Johnson should
all it takes is one, John. All it takes is one.
I think Theo Johnson should be one of the first tight ends off the board this year, non-Brock Bowers division, obviously. But
separate class there, yeah.
Yeah, that's a different position essentially that man's playing. But I think Theo is excellent and is going to be really good at the next level too. But I think Tyler Warren has a chance to surpass what he did from a production standpoint. Part of that's just like the offense, right? And I trust Andy Kotelnicki more than I trusted Mike Yurcich in putting those guys in position to succeed. But I do think that like he's in for a good year. You know, and I think that's going to help the room a lot, the wide receiver room a lot too, because there's less pressure on those guys when the targets are more distributed to other guys, you know, and you don't have to worry about force feeding 75% of your targets to the receivers.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of excitement right around this offense. And I thought Andy Kotelnicki's demeanor on the practice field today was interesting. Like, I wouldn't say, I mean, I would say he's fiery, but not like I felt like Mike Yurcich's levels were like, you walked in and you're like, okay, somebody's getting yelled at today. Like you just knew that, right? You could hear it. You could sense it. And that's, you know, how he'd coach.
Can I use a word to describe
edgy
it
today? But yeah.
That I've urgent, right? It feels like there's an urgency to what he does and the way he moves between drills, like in the middle of drills. Like it felt more than like it. I didn't even think it was fiery. He did get fired up one point. But like, I just felt like there was an urgency, like, and he was yelling at one point, steal a rep, right? Like, cause they were running down, the clock was running down on that portion of practice, but there are a few guys were able to get in one more rep at this drill. And like that, like there's a sense of urgency with Andy Kotelnicki to improve and to work on things. And so, I think that's probably the word I would use to describe him.
Yeah. Good word choice there, John. I do like that word.
It's a good thing I do the words for a living.
He's a wordsmith, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
I do think too, right? You talk about figuring out what you have this spring. It's also about kind of keeping healthy what you do know, those established pieces. Yes. And obviously that's Nick Singleton, that's Catron Allen. I'm intrigued, John, by who that number three running back is, because we did see the value that Trey Potts brought to this team last year. I think that's one of those sneaky under the radar departures that you say, okay, what do you do? I think you're kind of your two main guys there are going to be Cam Wallace and Quentin Martin. James Franklin said that London Montgomery has not gained enough weight, which is going to make it a challenge for him. James Franklin mentioned that he thinks Montgomery's still only 185 pounds, but he did say, which Quentin Martin, I think, is somebody you talk about impact players, whether this is catching passes, whether this is as a running back, whether this is on special teams. He's listed at 6'1", 194. And James Franklin said already Martin has changed his body and has gotten stronger. We were a little bit surprised when he got here. Really good football player. We just think he's really going to continue to kind of grow and explode dramatically over these next couple months. So I think there's a pretty high bar set for Quentin Martin. And I do think that's somebody a lot of fans are going to want to keep an eye on during that spring game, which is a month away, right? So it'll be practice 15. You got a month to kind of, to get all of this in, but yeah, I think before that, that number three role is part of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say it's the off season. We're going to be a little takey. Who's going to be the number three running back?
Quentin Martin.
I think it's going to be Quentin Martin too. And I think he's probably going to run away with it. No pun intended.
I think the ceiling is so high there. And I think though Cam Wallace is interesting. Right. And I think the thing that they always go back to is that he's got kind of the interesting body type, interesting build. He's somebody who we've heard a lot about. Oh, he's done a really nice job with that redshirt year last year. But I think you bring in a guy like Quentin Martin, you're talking about one of the best players in the country. You gotta, if he is ready, which you have to be under the assumption that he's going to be, right? Because you got him here in January for a reason. This is somebody that you got to get on the field. And if he is truly as dynamic as you think he is, as you hope he is, you got to find ways. And again, I think the creativity of this offense, they're going to find ways to do that. So it's a backfield that is loaded. I didn't want to have any widespread panic, but when I was over, I started off at the defense looking at them on Tuesday, then worked my way over to the offense. I looked across the field and I just saw a scooter and like a cane. And I was like, uh-oh, that's never a good sign. Like, oh boy, who's hurt?
Yeah, don't report on injuries, Audrey.
I would never dream of such a thing, but I saw the scooter, but it was Jawan Sighters. So that's right. We can discuss that, you know, because it's a
can we?
Coaching staff. And I guess we just did. So, it's out there. I think he posted somewhere about it this offseason. So but he was out there active on the practice field, even from the scooter. But yeah, I looked over and the scooter had nobody on it. And I was like, oh, no, but yeah, it was his. So no injuries to report from day one. And even if I could, I would.
And not that we would. but no, I'm with you on a lot of what you said. But I think the one thing that we haven't touched on yet, that just after we recorded last time, news broke.
There, John.
Yeah, but I think this is probably the last main point here.
Yes.
Because it's the first thing that was asked about by you at the press conference, mm-hmm. and that's Abdul Carter switched to defensive end. And I thought this was interesting because James Franklin essentially said, we wanted him at defensive end the entire time. Like, we thought he was a defensive end, but his dad and Abdul and his dad thought that he was a linebacker, which to me is fascinating because usually when you talk about like the positional spectrum, guys want to be closer to the edges of the offense and the defense, right? Like tight ends right. think they're receivers, guards think they're tackles, running backs sometimes think they're receivers, safeties think they're corners. Like that stuff happens a lot across the sport. And like linebackers think they're defensive ends. And like that's a much better paid position at the next level than like defensive end is than linebacker, especially like off-ball linebacker like Abdul Carter is or was. Well, he's a defensive end now, and I think this solves a lot of problems. I think he's going to be really good, first off. Like, I think he's going to be so much more valuable at defensive end, because if he was an elite linebacker, it's not as valuable to me as a good pass rusher, and I think he's going to be a great pass rusher from the jump. So I think this is, like, it fills a need, and you can talk about some of that a little bit, too, with the departures, but I just think this is, as James called it, like a win-win, right? Like, this just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, James Franklin said this really wasn't something from us. You know, this was Abdul really wanting to make this move for a number of reasons. I'm curious when we talk to Abdul Carter, kind of what his reasons are, right? And I think we know what they are, John, but I just want to hear it from him just to make sure, because I think you hit on it, right? The next level, the opportunity is there for him for sure. But yeah, I think this checks the box of, hey, this spring question of who starts opposite the Nye Dennis Sutton, that is no more. That's been answered. That was answered in February or whenever this switch went final, right after we recorded, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is something the wheels had been in motion for this for a little while. And this is something that you say, okay, makes a lot of sense. Now, you're still going to need more than two defensive ends. We know that. So that's where you get Jameel Lyons, Zariah Fisher, Amin Vanover.
And so I'm going to say the good news is they have five. So,
well, and Smith Vilbert is the forgotten guy in this, right? I mean, you talk about, man, the passing of time and his Outback Bowl performance, right? That is a long time ago.
That was also a performance that didn't feel sticky from a statistical standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like, oh, wow.
That's the only thing I remember
game.
From that whole game, John. That's
true.
No, so I take that back. I take that back.
I remember us asking
there was a
Jessica
specialist
Ketta
that
if he
threw
was
a pass. I think Jordan Stout, I think, threw a pass.
I don't remember if I'm being honest. That was the game that Jesse Luchetta told the media that he didn't have a decision yet. And then by the time I got to the press box, I tweeted a decision.
Remember that
we hadn't even gotten through the elevator yet. That's what
I
remember.
No, he said he didn't have one. And you guys are like, no, he didn't. I was like, no, he said he didn't. Yeah.
He's like, we just talked to him. But no, I think Abdul makes a lot of sense at defensive end. Like you said, they have a lot of depth there. I do think that there are gaps on the defense that need to be filled. And we can talk about this throughout the offseason, mm-hmm. because spring ball's here. We'll be, you know, talking more on here. But I think, you know, people are going to, the question that, as you would expect, would be asked is, okay, who fills in at linebacker? And my answer is nobody, right? Like, they just put two.
James Franklin mentioned the possibility, or I guess I'd say more nickel, but what's it called now, John?
It's called the Lion, is the fifth defensive back. And this is what I find really interesting, because, again, won't surprise anyone, I've watched a lot of Indiana in the past, been watching a bunch this offseason. That fifth defensive back, it's not really the nickel as much as it's the big nickel, right? Like, it's more of
the Husky.
Yeah, right. Like, that's what Tom Allen called it. It's like closer to a safety than a corner. But like, if teams are going to spread you out, you do want to have a corner that can do that. It's honestly, it's one of the reasons why I think King Mack is going to be really good in that role if they want to put him there. But I think what we're going to see is that linebacker will be Tony Rojas and Kobe King. And that's kind of it. And that's fine.
I think Tony Rojas is in line for a really, really big year. And I think they've got something special there. And again, that's, you don't say to Abdul Carter, hey, if you want to do this, sure, we're on board with it. One, if you don't think he can do it, and two, if you don't have options at linebacker to do it, right? So I'm with you. I think, and King Mack even told us back at that freshman, now second-year player media day last month, that he had spent time last season learning the nickel role, right? So that's a big...
Now it's going to be different this year, though, that role.
Right, right. So that, yeah, so you have that, but James Franklin mentioned a different nickel option today, which I think is, this is actually, we should get into this a little bit, too, because he was asked about KJ Winston and Jalen Reed. Obviously, I think, again, talk about guys that you feel good about, you know what you have there. But then he said that somebody else was having a really good offseason, John. So the door is open there. What did you take away from James Franklin saying that Zakii Wheatley has had the best, by far, offseason of his career?
I think it's really interesting because I wasn't with the defense today. I didn't see mm-hmm. them. If he is,
they were big, so far away, I could barely see him. Yeah. The DBs, yeah.
If he's bigger, he is kind of perfect for that. Lion role. Man, I hate that we're going to be calling it that.
Yeah, Lion, but not to be confused with the Tommy Stevens Lion package.
You know, I might just go ahead and keep calling it the Husky.
I like that better.
I do, too. It's a great name.
Well, John, all of this offense we've heard about, oh, it's about the terminology and the verbiage and keeping it easy. What about us?
Yeah.
I was called into Husky.
That's exactly right. This is about us. But that role, that Husky, Lion, whatever you want to call it, role, you want some strength to that guy. So Zakii Wheatley is bigger. Well, he's played corner before, so you should be able to trust him in man coverage. He's played safety recently, so you should be able to trust him if you need him to play, you know what I mean, the deep third of the field, or you know what I mean, if you're on cover three or anything like that. And if he's bigger, he's a willing tackler. We know this, right? Like, that willingness has never been an issue for him. It's strength. And he's always been a little stronger than he looks because he's so long. He doesn't look it. You know what I mean?
He's very lanky looking. Yeah, his build is not crazy.
He's not like Reed where it's like, oh, wow. Like, you can tell how strong Reed is as soon as you see him. But I think as long as he's added, it doesn't have to be much, like 5 pounds of strength. Like, I think he's kind of perfect for that role. And if it were me, I would go with whoever you want at corner, because that's a discussion we're going to have too, because only two of these guys are starting on guys are going to start on the outside, and two of them transferred in. And I'm guessing both of them expect to be starting. So I am curious to see what that looks like and who, you know what I mean, who ultimately takes his corner job.
Did the lights just go off at your house, John? Did your screen change? If anyone's watching this on YouTube, you'll know that I haven't lost my mind all of a sudden.
Hold on. I got to go to the old system preferences here. My computer
is your computer sleeping?
No, it went into dark mode, you know, because it's nighttime.
Oh, yeah.
And so... it is sensing that it's dark outside, which it is, which tells you how long it took.
See, the time change is hitting everyone differently. For John, right. It's his computer.
And we're back. Yeah, there it is.
There you go. There you go.
But no, what I was saying, I would be starting whoever at corner. We'll have that discussion at a later date when we can, because honestly, I have no idea. That is the one position I am willing to say I have no clue right now. Mm-hmm. By the end of spring ball, I think we'll have a better idea. Fall camp, obviously, we'll have a great idea. But right now, it's completely open. With safety, fully expect Jalen Reed to be starting at safety, right? Fully expect KJ Winston to be starting at safety. And so it's about how can you incorporate the other guys. I think KJ Winston, especially if it's, again, safety linebacker, you can move him down into mm-hmm. that Husky role. Same with Reed. I think he fits there.
We're just going to keep calling it the Husky,
It's just easier. Because I've watched so much stuff and I listen to Tom Allen's old pressers and he's calling it the Husky over and over again. He's changing it on me. But, you know, I think those guys fit for that more of in the box type role for a fifth DB, the big nickel. If it's a more traditional nickel slot corner, I think Wheatley can do that. But I think that's probably more King Max speed. That's more like you can pull a guy like Zion Tracy inside if you want to, right? Like, that's more of a cornerback. Yeah. And they have enough depth at both positions that I don't know that I can say, like, sure, you want it to be a corner, but there's more safeties. I think it's pretty evenly distributed throughout.
No, you're right, because that cornerback conversation is going to be fascinating. And that's, nothing there is getting solved within the next month. I mean, that is, I think the other thing, which in terms of getting solved, keeping everybody on board, keeping everybody happy, right? That transfer portal window is like right after the spring game, right? So you've got another month, which again, we say, well, what are the value of these 15 practices? There are going to be some really honest conversations after spring ball of here's where you stand. Here's where we see you. Here's what we want you to work on over the summer. And if not, you know, maybe that's your chance to kind of find a place elsewhere, because there is a lot of depth on this team, which is a good problem to have. Just some quick impressions, because you did mention Tom Allen, and I started down at that side of the field. He was active, man. It was a little I wouldn't say fiery or chippy.
That guy's got juice, like, to him.
Yeah, it was just like kind of loud, but I don't know. Manny Diaz just had that intensity that you could just sense it right away. I mean, the man wore cleats on a practice field.
I would go with excited. Like, he he really, and again, nailing it with the words today. He loves this. Like, he absolutely loves coaching football. And I think it's to no surprise, James said that Tom is excited to be a defensive coordinator again, which, you know, Allen mentioned several times during his intro presser. I think that's kind of what you're seeing today, that he's just, for the first time, he's out there coaching again, and he's just not thinking about all the other stuff.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. And I know there's been some consternation among the fan base about having a defensive end wearing number 11. Abdul Carter still is wearing 11. So I think that's just
that's just his number. Point.
Yeah, I think that's just a thing. But yeah, obviously he was going through drills with the D linemen from what we saw. But one of the other things that when I came back to the offense and you were standing there with me, and we saw Cooper Cousins run by, the freshman offensive lineman. And I think you, me, and Johnny McGonigal all looked at each other and were like, whoa, this guy's big. Like,
huge.
I mean, you knew he was huge from recruitment, from seeing him in person at events throughout the offseason, this and that. But you see him on the field again, you know, again, among other very large humans. And you're like, this guy's big. James Franklin did say Cooper Cousins will work at center this spring, that they don't want to move the young guys around too much. So you have that. But yeah, I think cornerback's fascinating to me for this offseason. I also think that offensive line is going to be really interesting. And again, without Shelton this spring, you're going to see different combinations. But kind of how Nolan Rucci factors in there is going to be interesting. JB Nelson has, you know, tackle guard options. So you have that. And then, oh yeah, Javon Williams, right? Yep. Like, you've got among the options there, Anthony Danko, Chim Diono. Like, you've got a lot of interesting guys there. But gosh, John, anything else before pro day that we need to make sure we touch on?
Well, like I said, I like doing these. They're nice little check-ins, you know, a temperature check, so to speak. People can go back and listen to these and see where we stood at that point in time. Not going to
tell us how wrong we are. I'm sure.
Yeah. Not going to hold each other to these predictions. It's just a feeling in the moment. And I think it's a good way to gauge how your opinion changes over time. So I'm going to put you on the spot with a few different positions.
I'll be the same.
Yeah. Who are the two starting corners against West Virginia?
Ooh, I thought you were going to say, who's the starting quarterback? And I said, oh my gosh.
We got some other positions. Don't worry.
I want to put AJ Harris in one of those two spots, but I don't think I can week one. But I think Cam Miller for sure. And then I guess I'm going to default to experience and go with Kimber for week one. But I do think as the season progresses, AJ Harris, I think, is going to be pretty good. Pretty good.
I think it's going to be Miller and Kimber as well.
So we agree.
With Harris heavily rotating in. Same. I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, Harris is going to, he's just going to have a big role. And he honestly, he might fit that nickel spot too.
Husky. For Lion. Some
reps, at least. Yeah. Whatever.
maybe we need like a slim Husky and then like a Lion, right? Like, based off of build.
We're basing this off my household. We're calling it the Corgi. And that's just
yeah, I'm gonna next presser. James, how's the competition at Corgi going?
Yeah, that's right. But no, okay, so we've got corner. Who are the starting tackles? Offensive tackles, to be clear.
Yes. Left tackle, Drew Shelton, right tackle is very interesting. I'm gonna roll the dice on this one without seeing him do anything meaningful in spring ball thus far. I'm gonna go Nolan Rucci at right tackle.
I'm gonna go Drew Shelton and Anthony Danko. I think Danko was too good in that Ole Miss game.
I like Danko a lot.
To backslide him a little bit. Not that it would be. I think they're gonna rotate, to be clear, at tackle way more than they did last year. But I think it's Danko. I think he's too good at this point, and you just want to get him on the field. The last one, who's the starting center?
Nick Dawkins.
I think it's Cooper Cousins. I think this is the take. This is
that's
the take.
John, that's like a that I'm a little I know. Like, this that's is, a we were building hot this. Take that I don't think you should I don't think you should be sharing that just yet.
Here's the thing. In 2 weeks, I may have a very different opinion. But right, you know, that's why I said this is like a temperature check.
In 2 weeks,
right? Like,
it won't matter.
Well, because that's why I'm calling it a temperature check. I don't, this isn't like some deeply analytical, we've talked to people in the building, whatever. Like, this is what you're feeling right now. And to me, he is like the physical impressiveness, the way they talk about him, the leadership stuff that Chuck Losey said, I thought is really important because that's a sign of high emotional intelligence. And like one of the things you have to be a center is really smart, right? Like you cannot get by at that position without knowing what you're doing. And I think he's got a chance to step into that right away and be.
I think you're discrediting the how big that jump is to make. I think, again, you talk about leaders, right? Guys that we've heard so much about being leaders on this team. Nick Dawkins is that guy. I mean, he was for a leader sure. in his recruiting class. He's been a leader despite not having the biggest on-field role. He's been a guy who people have gravitated toward. And I think, without a doubt, I think he's the guy. So, John, we're going to have to check in on your feelings more often. I think that's good. Yeah, your temperature, your feelings, we're going to have to keep gauging this. It's again, like there are interesting questions on this team, which for us, like we are in the business of storylines, right? The things that are interesting, exciting to us. You will not find more people that say we're tired of 10 and 2 seasons than a bunch of sports writers, because it's been a lot of the same narratives, right? We've beaten the wide receiver rotation and the questions, like we've just lived that, right? We're all, I think, fans, listeners, everybody's over that. I do think there are some interesting emerging questions elsewhere on this roster, but obviously we're going to get into the receiver stuff this spring as well. John, I think now that you've opened a can of worms about Pro Day on Friday. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say with Cousins, the one thing is, like you mentioned, Dawkins is like such a leader and has been mm-hmm. that without starting. I don't know if he has to start to continue to be that leader. You know what I mean? Like, I think he can continue that role with whether or not he's starting or not.
John, I think you might be wrong on that. But, you know, we can check back in on it. And, I mean, the thing is, like, it's good that we're having this conversation because it tells you how much talent and depth they have in this program. Right. And I think where you're really, I've been doing this for a while and so many springs we've heard about, this is it for the offensive line. This is the year. Well, you look at it this year, you're like, all right, you're replacing both tackles and you're starting center. And like, people aren't freaking out. They're not panicking over it. That's, I think, speaks volumes about how far this program has come.
Just going to be good. Like along the offensive front. Like I'm not worried.
Like I think that is really a credit to Phil Troutwine and man, cause it had been a revolving door for a while and just, they couldn't, you know, as you kind of move past the sanctions and you just couldn't kind of get things to line up, but they've done a really, really remarkable job there. But John, what's the, do you have any other scorching hot takes for Pro Day that I should be aware of? Any crazy things?
Yeah. No, nothing. I think
anything you want to see on at Pro Day or excited to see?
I'm curious to see what Kalen King does. I think the criticism has gone way too far, right? Like, again, go Birds. I'm an Eagles fan.
Uh-oh.
I would be happy with Kalen King in the third round. Now, it's a comp pick. It's like round pick 100, I think. But he, like, we cannot let the testing stuff tell you the opposite of what the film tells you, right? Like this goes, we were talking about the testing early with guys and how much does it translate to the field.
Yeah.
I go back to Keon Coleman on the broadcast. Like he runs like a 4.6, whatever from Florida State wide receiver. And they show him in the gauntlet trail. He's like running one of the fastest speeds. You know what I mean? From the GPS tracking of any of the receivers. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's game speed like that matters here. And I think like 4.6, no way. You know what I mean? Just no way. I've watched Kalen King play. Like he is not a 4.6 corner on the field. Like he may run a 4.6 40 yard dash. He may run it again at the pro day, but I am not in the least bit concerned about his speed on the football field. I don't think he's like some burner or anything like that. Like I think you're gonna see that Jalen Kimber this year is like fast, like real fast. But I'm not in the least.
Is anybody Daquan Hardy fast?
I think Kimber might be. I'm not 100% sure. I've never seen any times from him, Florida or Georgia or anything, but I do think Kalen King is a way better football player than he's been given credit for. I've seen some outrageous opinions about him. Just Like, and listen, I will admit that I thought he was a better quarter than Joey Porter Jr. when they were on, when they were starting last year. And I actually thought King was good this year. Like, I think it's a bit ludicrous for people to be like suggesting that, you know what I mean, now that he's not running well, that he was bad this year. And I saw some people even during the year saying that he wasn't playing well. Teams barely threw at him.
It was, and yes.
Like, and unless you're watching like the All 22, you really, like the TV, you can't see corners. Mm. Like, there's no way to make that judgment.
It is very tough to gauge. Yes. Yeah. But the TV, and it drives me nuts because we see this so many times with people basing things off the TV. And it's like that, you just cannot see it, you know?
And people in, I'm not like criticizing fans or anything either, by the way. I'm talking about like people who do this for a living, right? Like people who in our industry and like the scouting industry, all that stuff. Like, I think it's a bit ludicrous, the way that he's being discussed. It's just, it's crazy. I think like it's unfair to him. You're doing a disservice if a team were like doing that, and like, I'm not saying any team is, by the way.
to be clear.
Yeah. Well, because I've said before, whatever. But like, I am not saying any team is doing this, but I think if you're basing your opinion of Kalen King is based on what he's done in February, then you're going to miss out. I think he's probably a starting corner in the NFL still. I think you probably need to get him into a better place, right, where you can refine some stuff. I think he needs to you know, like I said, the long field speed it's not going to be damning or anything, but I do think he could afford to get a little bit faster. But I think that's more about tracking receivers, right, and his ability to stick with guys than actual long speed, right? It's about his play speed and his processing and stuff like that. I don't want to get too in the weeds here. I realized I was about
too to late. You're already in the weeds. Yeah, You're in it.
I got in the weeds and I tried to quickly pivot out of them. I don't want to bore people with that stuff, but I just think it's frankly incorrect. Like, I'm opinionated. This is no one's.
Oh, we know, John. We know you're like, center hot takes. We're well aware.
Yeah, I'm fully comfortable. You know, if I were running a team, I would be fully comfortable taking Kalen King late day two, early day three.
If that's were running a team, let John run your team into the ground. You will only be drafting Huskies, and that's it.
At least I didn't sign Josh Jacobs.
I'm fine with it, John. I'm fine. I was more my emotional scars from the release of Aaron Jones for like 30 minutes, and you'd lived this in real time. Because we were texting about it for 30 minutes. I thought the Packers had the best backfield in the NFL, and I was pumped.
Yeah, the group chat very nicely distributed, right? And rare that it's this well distributed, given the area we live and where everyone grew up. Like, got two Eagles fans, two Packers fans. Like, it's nice, even distribution. When insults are hurled, we have someone to back us up. Shout out to Johnny McGonigal on my end for that, defending the birds at all times with me. You and Daniel Gallen do a great job of rooting for whatever you're rooting for over there. Not that I would endorse it, but
hey, it's you know what, and to me this is the fun part for us, because we're football fans, right? We are huge NFL crazy fans, if you haven't figured out by now. But kind of seeing how these college puzzle pieces fit together for us is very fun at a pro day. Again, all it takes is one. I go back to Pro Day last year and watch Brian Gutekunst, watch Sean Clifford. In my head, I'm thinking, oh boy, Brian didn't leave yet. Why is he still here? Right? There's one guy left working out, and Brian, you know. And some of this stuff, like, you don't know. And some of it, you're very curious. But it is hilarious to me that for, you know, a couple hours or a few hours on Friday, you will have NFL brass in state college, right? In this tiny college town. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, right? Like, you will see NFL folks out and about, and it's just kind of hilarious because it is just this weird mix of undergrads and reporters and all these NFL people kind of in the same place, which is sports crazy, but it's crazy fun to be part of it, to see these kinds of things. But yeah, I want to know more so about the guys who are moving on, about what they've seen at practices, if they've watched any. Who are some of those guys behind the scenes that maybe we're not talking and writing enough about? Because, I mean, their insights are invaluable. Like, you always learn something when you talk to somebody who's been in the program as long as a Theo Johnson, as a Kalen King, so many of those guys. So going to be a lot for us to get to, but we will be there covering it all. I think we'll hear from James Franklin at some point next week, again, as we kind of get back into to the rhythm here of spring ball. And I guess we'll probably hear from some players, I think, maybe next week too.
Hopefully. Maybe. And, you know, we'll be there to cover it. You for The Athletic, me for Sunday Daily Times. On here, we'll be discussing it, I'm sure, more frequently now that spring ball started. Mm-hmm. As the draft approaches, I'm sure we'll be discussing the draft, as you could tell. I'm gladly willing to talk about, you know, NFL teams and how I think guys fit with that stuff, too. As you said, we're football junkies. Like, we just love the sport. Like, it's a lot of fun for both of us. But, you know, for now, I think this is a good place to leave it. If you can leave a rating, review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, would be very helpful. Give us those 5-star ratings, please, if you'd like. And go ahead and hit, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button down below. And don't forget to subscribe. Always helps us out. Don't forget to follow Audrey on Twitter at oddsnyder4. Find her writing at theathletic.com or with The Athletic app, which I admittedly use very frequently.
Find it's a great my app. Writing, it is a great
it
app.
It is. At find my writing at centerdaily.com. That's CENTRE, like center county, not like center of the word. You can find me on Twitter at
universe.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter at John Sauber, JONSAUBER. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.